You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, The Hobgoblin of Faithful Minds. Now, here is Dr. Meyer.
Consistency, they say, is the hobgoblin of little minds. Hobgoblin? The word literally means an ugly, mischievous elf. In a more general sense, it means an imaginary source of anxiety, fear, or dread. Consistency, the hobgoblin of little minds? Sure, if you're talking about toothpaste, what difference does it make if you squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom or from the middle of the tube? And what difference does it make if you start reading your magazines from the front, or, as I do, from the middle? And what difference does it make if you paint the fellowship hall at church blue or beige? Don't sweat the small stuff. Consistency, the hobgoblin of little minds. But let's put ourselves in other real-life situations. You're in the coffee shop or the cafeteria at work. You've been talking a lot lately with someone of the opposite sex. Your husband just hasn't been there for you emotionally. He's a fine man, but emotionally you're crying out to him and he's not there for you. Or, if you're a man, perhaps you're spending a lot of time talking with this woman at work because she seems genuinely interested in you, and your wife has been pretty cold for a long time. The situation is one where something could happen. What do you do? Are your actions going to be consistent with what you believe? You believe that God has shown us how to live. You've heard the commandment hundreds of times, the commandment that says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And if you choose to stop and recall, you know the trouble that came to King David when his actions were inconsistent with God's command and he took up with Bathsheba. But now your emotions are telling you something different than the Bible teaches. Is consistency the hobgoblin of little minds? You're in the beauty shop. Frida, or Ruth, or you fill in the name, has been sitting in the chair and holding court about this, that, or whatever. You know how she is. Always giving her opinions on everything. Ha! She's got room to talk. Well, now the beautician is done with Frida or Ruth or whatever her name happens to be in your beauty shop, and she leaves. Now the talk turns on her. Don't know where she gets off being so high and mighty. I've known her too long. Yeah, and you know what they're saying about her husband, etc., etc., and so forth. There you are. What do you say? Are your words going to be consistent with what you believe? You believe that God has shown us how to live. You've heard that we should not bear false witness against our neighbor, as the commandment says. Sometime or other, you probably heard Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Now, are your words going to be consistent with what you've heard? Or is consistency the hobgoblin of little minds? If you are inconsistent, the result will not only be that Frida's reputation is further damaged, but you are also opening yourself up to malicious gossip when you walk out of the beauty shop. This should be a golden rule situation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. On the other hand, if your words are consistent with your faith, if you do follow the golden rule, you are a witness, and that is what your God and Savior wants you to be in your life. I don't care how you squeeze your toothpaste or read your magazines, but there are situations aplenty where consistency is important. We depend upon consistency in the world of nature. We depend upon the consistent alternation of night and day. Farmers depend upon a consistent change of seasons for the growing of their crops. The consistent thing is for rivers to stay in their banks. When they don't, like the Red River, the inconsistency is disastrous. We depend upon consistency in our relationships. Faithfulness is supposed to be the rule in a marriage. But when a spouse is not consistently faithful, the marriage is jeopardized or destroyed. Kindness is supposed to be the rule in parenting, but long-lasting emotional damage results when a parent is inconsistent, sometimes kind, sometimes abusive. Traffic safety depends upon consistently obeying the rules, but when someone is inconsistent, you might be hit or hurt or worse. Forget the old saying, consistency counts. It especially counts in the spiritual life. How often have you heard someone say, it's what's in your heart that counts, not doctrine? In other words, they're saying that your feelings and conduct don't have to be consistent with what God has revealed in the Bible. God's thou shalt and thou shalt not can be ignored if your head and heart are urging you to do something different. I say, be inconsistent at your own risk. As a Christian, you'll strive to be a witness whose words and actions are consistent with the teachings God has revealed in the Bible. In the coffee shop or cafeteria, you'll start cooling down that potentially home-wrecking relationship, and you'll dedicate new energies to home improvement. In the beauty shop, you'll say what is right, not what is juicy. Wherever you find yourself this week, you know that God has revealed His will and ways in the Bible. You'll make an effort to match your words and actions with biblical teaching, biblical doctrine. To twist the old saw, consistency is the hobgoblin of faithful minds. This consistency grows out of love. When someone tells you it's what's in your heart that counts, not doctrine, they're trying to cut the connection between the tongue and hands and a heart intended for the love of God. They're severing the connection between right belief and practice. Just as a body needs heart and tongue and hands working together, so love and biblical doctrine go together. The doctrines taught in the Bible are not musty, old, regressive rules. Read them carefully sometime. Read them often. You'll discover that they are teachings about the long and patient love that God has had for people for thousands of years. It's about a love that created us to delight in fellowship with Him and in perfect relationships with one another. Imagine that! Perfect relationships with one another! But we sin. We all have. We follow the urgings of our head and heart rather than God's clearly revealed will and ways. Good for us, though, God's love never stops. The Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to restore our fellowship with Him and with others. This Christ, who was crucified on a cross and raised to life on Easter, is God's agent for righting all that is wrong in your life. The Holy Spirit puts into your heart this love that God has for you. He does it through the teachings of the Bible. They are not old oppressive rules. These doctrines of God's Word are His way of putting His love for you into your heart. Now the fellowship you and I have with God has not reached perfection yet. The shortfall isn't on God's side, it's on ours. Although your sins have been forgiven because of Christ, and you will go to heaven when you die, we often prove ourselves to be inconsistent. Instead of responding to God's love with faithful obedience to His ways, we receive His forgiveness for past sins and His hope for the future, and then, inconsistent with what we've been given, we do and say what we want, not what He would have us do. Our tongues utter words, and our hands do things that are inconsistent with the love that God's Spirit has put in our hearts through His Word. We follow our sinful heart rather than the doctrine of God's love that should claim our whole being. What ought to happen is that God's love prompts us to show our love for Him by keeping His teachings. You can't sever the tongue and hands from the heart and have real life. And a Christian shouldn't divorce words and actions from the love of God in the heart. Striving for this consistency is a good witness to others. A friend of mine on the East Coast reminded me that we can never gauge the impact of our words. He happened to be in a restaurant and saw an acquaintance dining with a woman who was not his wife. He greeted him and made an offhand comment that this acquaintance was getting in over his head. To that, the acquaintance replied that he was planning to leave his family and divorce his wife. Fortunately, it never happened. The words, "You're getting in over your head," planted some doubt in his mind. He ended the affair and recommitted himself to his marriage and family. If my East Coast friend hadn't spoken out of a consistency of doctrine and life, who knows what would have happened to that marriage? This consistency is a good witness, and it has its rewards. Psalm 119, verse 46 says, "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame." People might turn on you because you said or did what was right, but the reward will come. You'll be vindicated. One day you'll hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Isn't that extra motivation for you? Or would you rather give in to the crowd now and take your chances in the judgment? Jesus says, "If people are ashamed of me and what I say in this unfaithful and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of those people when He comes with the holy angels in His Father's glory." I think I know your intent. You want your witness to be consistent with God's truth. Your words and actions want to come from a heart that God has claimed through His doctrines of love. Last month, I was in Washington, D.C., and had the opportunity to visit with several senators and congressmen. One was Representative Tom Latham of Iowa. I told Congressman Latham about you, our loyal and large listening audience. Honestly, I was bragging about you, saying that you are people who believe God's word and want to do what is right. In the midst of that conversation, I asked him this question: what can we do? What can I do to make more of a difference in our society? The moral decay of our culture is well known. While the ultimate goal of our ministry is that you and others will have eternal life through faith in the Savior Jesus Christ, we also want to make a difference in the moral and spiritual life of our nation. The same is true in Canada, in Jamaica, in New Zealand, in the countries of West Africa, or wherever you live and are listening. The congressman said first that he and others are trying to make a difference in Washington. That's true. I know it for a fact from my conversations with other representatives and senators. They are not rejecting the Ten Commandments when they make their decisions. They are doing what the psalmist said, "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame." "But what about back home?" I asked. "People aren't following Washington with bated breath. or Ottawa or the goings on in your country's capital. What about the people who don't listen to programs like this one? How do we reach them? Congressman Latham answered, "Your listeners need to tell the story when they go into the coffee shop or wherever they go." That's it. I will speak of your statutes in the coffee shop, in the beauty shop, in the restaurant, on the golf course, wherever I go. My words and actions will be consistent with the love God has put in my heart through His Word and Spirit. Will you do that? Will you strive to make your words and actions consistent with the forgiving love God has shown you in the teachings of the Bible? Will you? Will you? This is not an imaginary hobgoblin. God will bless you and others for your witness. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.